Blog Talk Radio.
A dream, a building, bricks, all leading to a wonderful building that we're going to talk about today, located in Detroit, Michigan, my hometown, the Charles H. Wright African American Museum. All started with an idea from Dr. Charles Wright, who was visiting Denmark and saw the memorial tribute to those who had perished in World War II, came back to Detroit and decided that we need to have a memorial tribute to African Americans decades ago. And one thing led to another, and now we have the largest African American museum of its kind in the world, the Charles H. Wright African American Museum. We're going to talk with the Director of Archives and Libraries on today's show and learn more about its significance with Black History Month. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I'm glad that you're listening to today's show. Oh, it's pretty interesting in my office here. I'm broadcasting here, and things disappear and things reappear, and it's just one of those kind of days. And we're also looking forward to yet another snowstorm here in the greater Boston area. Oh, my goodness. We're hoping it's going to blow out to sea and will not be as significant as the storm was 2 weeks ago. I'm also excited because we are definitely cruising ahead in April, a very short time from now. I'm going to play a little announcement for those who are still making up your mind. There's still a little bit of time for you to think about cruising away from all this really bad weather we're having across the country and have fun on a Caribbean cruise. Stay tuned. Listen up.
The hectic day-to-day activities of busy people like you can be demanding on your time, your energy quotient, and your stress level keeps going up. What's the solution? Our 8-day, 7-night Caribbean cruise. Yes, we're taking our diversity, inclusion, and multicultural message on the road with our first cultural Caribbean cruise set to sail from April 13th through April 20th, 2013. We'll travel to 3 wonderful ports of call: Puerto Rico, St. Martin, and St. Kitts. Aboard ship, we'll learn about our cultural Caribbean traditions and heritage from Boston-born Dr. Ada McKenzie. We're sailing on Celebrity Cruises' brand new ship, Reflection. Entertainment, relaxation, cultural education, and a great group of informed travelers just like you. A $250 deposit and easy monthly payments books your passage to the tropics. Complete details can be found at www.msfconnect.com or give us a call at 508-947-5755. Affordable, fun, educational, get ready for sun sailing and a sensational cultural Caribbean cruise.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun, and I hope you'll join us. Go to my website, www.msfconnect.com. Learn more about it and cruise with us in April. Ooh la la, we're going to have big, big fun. Well, I'm going to have a nostalgic trip back to my hometown of Detroit. I'm excited. I did a little bit of research before preparing for the show. I've had a chance to talk with the Director of Marketing, and now we have the Director of Archives and Libraries on the show talking about the largest African-American museum in the world of its kind, a museum that was designed by Harold Varner. Harold Varner is a well-known architect in the Detroit area. He is a friend of my brother and sister-in-law, and he and his wife, Nancy. They've known each other for many, many years. And his firm did the completion work and the design work for the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History, a beautiful facility just to see. If you go to my website and my blog, tellcarole.com, that's TellCarole.com, and today's blog gives a lot of background information about the museum. You'll actually have a chance to see Dr. Wright and also the building and the inside. It's just really, really beautiful. But to tell us more in detail about this wonderful museum as we celebrate Black History Month is the Director of Archives and Library, Lanisha DeLarva. I just messed it up. I said I wasn't going to do this, but DeBar-Laban. There we go. Lanisha DeBar-Laban. An interesting name, German and French, held by an African-American who knows her stuff. Hello, Lanisha. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Carol. Thanks for having us.
Tell us more about your role with the museum and what is most, I guess, most appreciated about this wonderful structure with all of the archives that are inside.
Well, we have an extensive collection here at the museum, an archives, manuscript, and object collection. And as the Director of Archives and Libraries, I'm responsible for managing the collection and the team that works with it. So that's my role here at the museum. We are a jewel and a gem in Detroit, in Michigan, in the United States, as the world's largest African-American history museum. We have a unique, one-of-a-kind museum here that visitors literally from all over the world come to visit and to enjoy.
Great. For those of you who are interested, I would love for you just to take a trip to Detroit. I've actually been back there for family reunions and gone there, and our family reunions have gone through the museum. It's just a wonderful and a big and beautiful and very impressive building. Can you give us a little bit of history about Dr. Wright from your standpoint? I know that you're fairly new to the museum, but what do you know or what can you say about his influence and his vision on this wonderful facility and institution?
Well, this museum certainly would not be celebrating its 50-year anniversary in 2015 without the vision of a man named Dr. Charles Wright. Dr. Wright was born in 1918 in Alabama. He attended Alabama State College and Meharry Medical School. He was trained as an obstetrician, and in his professional role, he delivered over 7,000 babies himself, and he mentored countless number of younger physicians and obstetricians who were entering into the profession. He was a mentor to many, many people. And he believed strongly in the role of cultural education, the power of education to uplift and to liberate and to transform people's lives and communities. And that inspired him to begin the process of starting a museum dedicated to African American history, and that process started in the 1960s, and in 1965, the museum was established.
And the rest is history. First at a smaller building, then raising a lot of money, and then ultimately raising enough money for the current facility that is standing strong in Detroit. It's just a beautiful, very majestic building. You have a 317-seat facility where you have live performances, film screenings, lectures, presentations, and more. So it's a very active museum, not just for children, not just for field trips to come through, but certainly for people to walk through and really get a sense of history. Do you have a sense, and you may not know this, I know that there is the Museum of African American History that's going to be built in Washington, D.C., will be opened in 2015 by the Smithsonian. Will that museum be larger than the museum in Detroit, or do you have any information about that?
In terms of the actual building structure, I am not sure exactly. I know that the Charles Wright Museum will continue to be the leading African American history museum. We have a 50-year history behind us of doing outstanding exhibitions and programming and educational programming for school groups, and we host family reunion groups here every summer. We will continue to really put forth outstanding programs for our community and for the global community as a whole.
Well said, and I'm sure it's going to certainly be a leader in the way. And again, I'm sure that Dr. Wright was a contemporary of my parents, who were of his same age pretty much, and I was born in a black hospital by black physicians who were probably mentored by Dr. Wright. So it's just good to know that his legacy lives on. Now, tell us about some of the exhibits that are going to take place at the museum, and one of them that's already passed, I know we're right in the middle of Black History Month, but one that just really caught my eye, you had a feature, Without Consent, the story of Henrietta Lacks, featuring David Lacks, and you also have the whole family. I have done some speaking now on the book, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, and actually saw a video clip of the author when she was in Detroit lecturing. So tell us, I know that's passed, but tell us a little bit about what happened on February 10th.
We were fortunate to have seven members of the Lacks family with us on February 10th as a part of our Inspiring Minds exhibition. The museum has recently opened a new exhibition called Inspiring Minds, African Americans in Science and Technology. It's a high-tech exhibition that features touchscreen, hands-on interactive, and it has five vignettes. And one of the vignettes explores the life of Henrietta Lacks and the quest for black medical rights. Mm-hmm. And as a way to bring the story of Henrietta Lacks to the forefront, we invited the Lacks family. We partnered with Beaumont Health Systems here in the Metro Detroit area, and we also worked with the Oakland University School of Medicine. And we brought the Lacks family here to talk about the legacy of Henrietta Lacks and her impact on science and on humanity as a whole. And it was truly a heart-touching experience to see David Lacks, the son of Henrietta Lacks, and Jerry Lacks, right. Y, the granddaughter, to be on stage and to talk about her impact and the impact of her experience upon the family.
Was that videotaped at all? Is there an archived version that we can see online?
Unfortunately, it's not, and we were at capacity. The community really came out to meet the family. They signed the books. The book was written by Rebecca Skloot, but the Lacks,
right.
They signed the book afterward.
Mm-hmm. That was probably a very moving experience. And for our listeners who are not familiar with Henrietta Lacks, who died in the 50s, in the very early 50s, her cancerous cells were taken without her knowledge or permission and have gone on to be used for medical science literally all over the world. It was the first opportunity for modern medicine to literally take living cells and regenerate them, duplicate them, and clone them that have now been used with God knows how many types of research projects literally all over the world. She was an African American. Read the book. It's The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks by Rebecca Skloot. It is just an amazing story. So to have her descendants who were there in Detroit, I'm sure it was quite an amazing experience as well. Can you share with us a little bit about any local Detroiters who went on to popularity, or those from the Michigan area who are featured in the Charles Wright Museum of African American History, Lanisha?
We have our ring of genealogy. When visitors enter the museum and enter our rotunda, we have the ring of genealogy that features prominent ancestors who made a difference in society and in the world. And ancestors such as Detroit's Rosa Parks is featured on the rotunda ring of genealogy. Of course, Dr. Charles Wright is featured there. Dr. Ralph Bunch is featured on our ring, and he was the first African-American to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. He was born and raised right here in Detroit, attended Second Baptist Church, which is Michigan's oldest African-American religious congregation. So individuals like that are featured in our ring of genealogy, and as visitors step into our core exhibition called And Still We Rise, we feature additional prominent Detroiters within that exhibition as well as groups such as the 102nd U.S. Colored Troops, the African American Regiment from Michigan that fought in the Civil War.
I have to get back there and see it. You're whetting my appetite and more reason for me to come back home and learn more by going to the museum first. Now, you also have a current museum called Visions of Our 44th President. Tell us about that. And I think we listeners all know that we're talking about President Barack Obama, who is our 44th president. But tell us more about that, Lanisha.
Absolutely. We have an exciting new exhibition called Visions of Our 44th President. It's an art exhibition that features 44 different busts of President Obama that were the artwork was done by 44 different artists. And this is going to be the museum's first nationally traveling exhibition. It will be here at the museum until August, and then it will travel around the country for 5 years, and it will return here to our museum to be a permanent part of our collection, and it is a must-see exhibition.
That sounds exciting. Very enticing, too. Very enticing. What keeps you up at night? What big project are you working on, Lanisha, as you are functioning as the Director of Archives and Libraries at the Charles Wright Museum of African American History?
Well, we just finished up on an exhibition celebrating the Detroit branch NAACP's 100th anniversary called A Very Present Force, and it celebrates a century of the nation's largest NAACP branch right here in Detroit.
Right.
We have programming that will be associated with that exhibition in March, which is Women's History Month. We will focus on the women in the NAACP and the history of women in the struggle for civil rights. That event will take place on Sunday, March 10th, and it will feature a talk by Councilwoman Joanne Watson, who was the first and only female executive director of the Detroit branch NAACP. And it will feature other women who made history in the struggle for civil rights in Detroit. That's one of the projects.
For those who are not familiar, I know that and it's probably still going on today, the NAACP, the Detroit branch, has the largest fundraising dinner, too. They typically have a 10,000-person dinner each year at Coble Hall. People are fed efficiently. It's a powerful program, and again, 10,000 people. I'm sure that's going strong as well, Lanisha.
It absolutely is. It's continuing. That Freedom Fund dinner started here in Detroit in 1956, and it is the nation's largest sit-down dinner. We also have a project coming up on Thursday. We're partnering with the Detroit branch of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History to bring in Dr. Khalil Muhammad. He's the director of the New York Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture, and he'll be here giving a talk next week. And we're working on our Underground Railroad website, which we will launch later this year.
Lots of good information. And again, the organization you just referenced is the legacy or the heritage that started with Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who is the founder of Negro History Week, which then became Black History Month, and that organization is alive and well today because of him. Lots of good things going on. I want to just bring on one of our listeners who is on the phone, always very faithful, and probably has lots to say today. Beverly Munn and Joanne Fagan, any thoughts or any comments that you want to make about this fantastic museum to Lanisha DiBartolaben?
Actually, no, I don't. I'm learning. And congratulations to Lanisha for the work that you're doing there. I wish that I could physically see, but if you ever have any films or slides or what have you, I'd love to see them.
Thank you
great,
so much.
Great.
Thank you for that comment. We are beginning to stream our programs on our website. So if you go to thewright.org, listeners can tune in to some past programs that we've had, and they can view archived programs and participate.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Beverly, for saying that. And I'm glad that you brought that up because I've actually gone to YouTube. There are some of your past lectures that are actually on YouTube. But the websites for this fantastic museum, anybody can join this museum. I live in Boston, but I was a member for several years, and I'm going to renew my membership so you can support the largest African-American museum in the world by going to www.theright, that's theright.org. There are video clips there. There's information that you can download, and it's a great, great way to learn. Personally, what are some things on the horizon for you, Lanisha, as you continue on your role with this great organization?
Well, I'm busy helping to plan Women's History Month. We will be featuring a play on Harriet Tubman. Listeners may not know that it was 100 years ago that Harriet Tubman passed to be with the ancestors on March 10th, 2013. So in March, we will have a play called Harriet's Return featured here at the Wright Museum. We will also host a performance by the Spelman College Glee Club the same day on March 10th. And we will have a talk by author Dennis Kimbrough on wealth choice, success secrets of black millionaires. And we just have a host of programs that continue to engage our community. We have health and fitness classes such as our 30 Days to Lose It, Hustle for History. We have storytelling for children, guided tours, and we just have just about everything that will engage the community, and it happens right here at the Wright Museum.
That's great. Spelman College, that's my daughter's school. She's a Spelman grad. Dennis Kimbrough, who I know and has written several wonderful books, all highlighting those who are successful in our country. It sounds like you're going to do a lot of really good work. And certainly Harriet Tubman, an icon not only in the black community, but certainly throughout the world. How did you get involved in this work, Lanisha?
I have been in public history for about 10 years. When I was a little girl, my dad would tell me stories about our family history, and that really inspired me to learn about the African-American past. And he told me, when you know the past, you can know anything. And it was James Baldwin who said, history does not merely refer to the past, but history is present in everything that we do. And so I have loved history since a little girl.
That's great. And you're from the Saginaw area and new to Detroit, and I'm sure you're going to be quite a wonderful addition to Detroit as well. One final question I wanted to ask you, since technology plays such a big part. I know that I've seen her face on your website a couple of times, Dr. Paula Cunningham, who is a well-known professor at MIT here in Boston. I know Paula. I know her husband. Just a great person, and she's also a member of my sorority, Delta Sigma Theta. Are you going to have more opportunities for those outside of the greater Detroit area to be a part of the museum via either lectures that are streamed online or any open courses that could be taken? What are the focal points on making this a library that can be enjoyed by anyone regardless of where they live?
Absolutely. We are currently, at the moment, actively looking at ways to engage audiences who are not physically present with us. So we have begun to stream our programs live, and visitors can tune in live or watch archived programs. Just this past Tuesday, we had a talk on black civic engagement, and visitors can, and we had a wonderful array of scholars and political scientist and grassroots front lines activist. And visitors can go back and view that program. And just about all programs that we do here, we're beginning to stream live. We also will have an online course that's a part of our Underground Railroad project. Visitors will be able to take an online course on the Underground Railroad history once this project is launched. So we are beginning to look at ways to really connect with global audiences right here from the Charles Wright Museum in Detroit.
Great. And Lanisha, if someone is interested in the online course, I would be interested in that, or if they're interested in any of the other online activities that will be designed and implemented through the museum, how can they be put on a list? What do they need to do to be a part of that?
Well, they can certainly go to our website, therite.org, and look under our staff contacts to contact the appropriate person for that particular project or program that they're interested in. Just about all information can be found on our website.
Great, great. Lanisha, I just appreciate you being a guest on my program. I've been talking with the Director of Archives and Library, Lanisha DeBartolaben. I think I pronounced your name correctly this time. Thank you very much for being a guest on my program. We're going to check in from time to time to find out more about what's taking place with the museum, the different programs that you're having, and how we can certainly help and support you in any way possible. Lanisha, thank you very much for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you for having us, Carol.
All right, take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We've been talking to Lanisha DeBartolaben, who is the Director of Archives and Libraries for the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History. Can you only imagine, this gentleman was born around the same time. He was born in 1918, I believe that's what Lanisha said. My mother was born in 1917. He went on to become a great physician. I'm sure that my pediatrician was under his tutelage. I'm sure that many others in the Detroit area knew of him. My sister-in-law's father was a physician in Detroit around the same time. So I know these family members. I know these people. They were very visionary, very proud people, and I'm familiar with them and the importance of who they are. Dr. Charles Wright, who was an obstetrician, a gynecologist, he envisioned the institution to preserve Black history after he had visited a memorial to the Danish World War II heroes in Denmark. And as a result of this, he was convinced that African Americans needed a similar research resource center to document, preserve, and educate the public on their history, their life, and their culture. And in 1965, Dr. Wright, in partnership with 30 other like-minded Detroiters, established Detroit's first international Afro-American museum. The museum, known by the acronym IAM, opened on West Grand Boulevard, I know that well, with dozens of exhibits showcasing such items as African masks from Nigeria and Ghana and the inventions of Elijah McCoy. A year later, the IAM Traveling Museum, housed in a converted mobile home, began touring the state and spreading information about the contributions of African Americans. The museum quickly outgrew its quarters. That's just a fascinating story. Then in the fall of 1978, the city of Detroit agreed to lease the museum a plot of land between Jar and Brush Streets, I know where that is, to build a facility five times larger than its predecessor. In order to raise funds, Detroit public school students participated in a buy-a-brick campaign, raising $80,000 for the new facility. Following the students' initiative, a group of adults started the Million Dollar Club, in which each member pledged at least $1,000. The major fundraiser earned $300,000. Then in 1985, the Afro-American Museum and the City of Detroit formed a partnership to build a new facility in the city's University Cultural Center, securing the funding to complete the $3.5 million facility. And the name of the International Museum, African-American Museum, was changed to the Museum of African-American History, and ground was broken for the new facility on May 21st, 1985. The rest is history. I would encourage and welcome and encourage all of you to go check out. It's a wonderful, wonderful facility with lots of great things and just a real testament, not just to African-Americans, but to the American presence and people of color and what our country means to each and every one of us. Enjoy your weekend. It's going to be a little stormy here in the greater Boston area. And we hope that wherever you happen to be, that you'll remember that there's Black history everywhere, in Detroit, in Boston, in Washington, in Topeka, Kansas, wherever you happen to be, there is some element of culture that has enriched our lives. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.